Easter morning discoveries. Easter morning discoveries. Let me read the text for it. I think this is also the text we heard today in the reading. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." That's Luke chapter 24, the first verses, first six verses. But Easter symbolically brings us to our final earthly destination. Let me read that again. Think about that for a minute. Easter symbolically brings us to our final earthly destination. Lent's 40 days, you know, it always ends up where? At the tomb. It always ends up at the tomb, which held Jesus' body, but which also stands for our own tomb. It also stands for, it didn't belong to Jesus. It belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, and he was a would-be disciple. He wanted to follow God and do what was right. He was a would-be disciple trying to be a follower, and in fact, he represents us. Joseph of Arimathea represents us, and his empty tomb, this empty tomb of his, that where Christ arose from, that he had been laid in, that also symbolizes our tomb. It symbolizes our tomb, and it has a message of good news for us. Hope beckons to a dying race from the door of Christ's empty tomb. And these women, they came and to this end of a terrible weekend. It was a terrible weekend for them. And they come to this just as we're coming to the close of the Lenten journey. We come again to the garden tomb. And we're going to accompany these women. And we're going to see what they saw. They came on that first day. And with them, we also can make some early Easter morning, discoveries, things that we can find. First of all, we're going to see that he's gone. He's gone. He was there. They had seen him buried there, but they did not find the body that they were actually expecting to find. That's what they were. They had an expectation. They went there for a purpose, a reason, and they thought they were going to see the body, and they did not see it. You know, they were entirely sure about his death. They were certain. They had seen the spear go in, you know, and there was no room in their minds for the theories, the modern theories, that Jesus faked his death. I mean, there's people. Yeah, there's people that actually think that Jesus faked his death with that spear going into his side. And the coolness of the tomb woke him up. Yeah, sure. And then he pushed that stone back. Yeah. Anyway, so the mystery of our hope is that God actually became one of us. He became a human being. The history of our hope is that human being, that God who became human, he died in our place. But nothing short of Christ's resurrection could have changed his confused and discouraged and despairing disciples. Because that's what they were. They'd lost all hope. Nothing could have changed them into fearlessly bold evangelists. That's what they became, except something like this resurrection. Christ's resurrection, it just utterly transformed them. It utterly turned them around from their despair and discouragement. We call the day of Christ's death Good Friday because we know about Easter. But to these women at the tomb, They had just gone through a horrendous thing. The resurrection was a big surprise to them. It had been a bad Friday. It had been a terrible weekend. And they had watched their hopes be crucified, nailed to the cross. And because these women did not anticipate it, his resurrection was ecstasy. I mean, they were overjoyed. And we grow up with this knowledge. And we say, oh, Easter, you know, what are we going to do for dinner afterwards? And you know, we plan all these things. Their total focus was, we were expecting, but now look what, you know, and we'll never be able to experience the thrill that they had because we've already known it, right? We grew up with it, but we can learn from their discoveries. One of the things they discover, he's gone, but he left some things behind. And we think about 75 pounds of spices. What? Yep, that's how much it weighed. All the spices that Nicodemus must have been a rich man, very rich, because those spices were really expensive. And he had Jesus wrapped in those spices to dispel the odor of a decaying body. And the women had say, we're going to bring even more. We want to show our respect too, and we want to give some spices as well. So they were bringing even more, but Jesus left behind in that tomb a fragrance, a kind of a fragrance that sweetens our own path to the grave. We say, how can that happen? Well, there was a guy who wrote a poem. I don't know. We don't have his name. He's not one of those guys. I think he's anonymous. That's the guy, anonymous. He's written a lot of poems. And this is just the last lines of it. Why should we tremble to convey these bodies to the tomb? There the dear flesh of Jesus lay and left a long perfume. And you know, the scent of that odor is that sweet odor, that beautiful odor, is the scent of a new kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth that Jesus brought with him. And this is what it's all about. He left behind something else. He left behind some grave clothes. And they remind us of three things. First of all, Jesus had identified fully with humanity, the human condition. And he had to wear clothes. Why? Keep warm when it gets cold, you know? And he had fully identified with human death. He was wrapped up in a shroud, you know, sort of the great, what they call grave wrappings. And it was to hide that loathsome process of decay that was going to happen to him, supposedly. By abandoning those in the grave, by leaving those grave wrappings behind, Jesus showed us where he went. That where he went and where we'll go someday, the bodily coverings that we needed down here will be traded for robes of righteousness. You know, nobody leaves this world with the clothing we have on. We enter the world naked, we go out of the world naked. But when we get there, we're going to have robes of righteousness purchased by his death on the cross. And then he left behind some angels. They were at the tomb not to serve the needs of the risen Savior, but to serve as messengers to these women and to us. And to us, they rolled back that heavy stone, not to release Jesus' body from the confines of the tomb. They were showing us that he's alive. He is not here. He has risen. And they came not to awaken Christ from death. They say, hey, wake up, Jesus. It's time for you to rise up. No, he just rose up, and they came afterwards. But they were coming to assure and to assure us that when we have to face death too, we're going to have angelic watch care over us. I mean, you know, Jesus said, follow me. And if we follow him, we're going to get what he has. We're going to inherit the kingdom with him. And as we die, I think we're going to see some of these angels, and they say, you didn't know, but I was with you a lot in my life. And during your lifetime, I had all kinds of miracles, and you didn't even thank me for them. All these things, I was protecting you, and you didn't even see it. But I think in heaven, we're going to find out angel stories. Oh boy, talk about angel stories. We're going to find out that most of our lives, we've had these angels helping us, and we didn't know it. But he also left behind an open passageway from this empty tomb. Death appears to be so final until we visit the empty tomb and see that Jesus knocked down those doors of the death house. He knocked them down. He tore the bars apart, as it says in that song that we sang. And humanity's mortal state, the idea that we die, it has a hope of immortality. And even people who don't believe in the resurrection, they somehow have this latent thing inside, wanting to survive, wanting to go beyond. That immortality, that hope of immortality, has been won. It has been purchased. It's really a done deal. You know, it's not something we have to strive for or pray for. It's there. It is there. We only have to receive the one who won it, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And that's the one who said, this is in Revelation, he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and hell." Yeah, he knocked down the doors. He's got the keys. He's opened the doors of death. And the glory that shines in this open doorway of the empty tomb, it now penetrates the obscurity of the grave. No longer is death dark and shadowy and fearsome. Jesus has bathed the pathway of the afterlife with light, glorious divine light. We have the leisure to reflect on this, on what Jesus left behind. But these women, there was something more obvious to them and practical about this discovery. He is gone, but so are our plans. We came with these spices. You know, they came searching in vain. And it's simple logic that no one's ever where they are not. That's just logical, right? No one's ever where they're not. And there's still some people that are looking in vain for Jesus because they're looking for him where he's not. He's not in the philosophical tomb created by him by some modern skeptics. I mean, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but there was a group published some books. I think they published a book about this, and it was a group of ministers and so on in search of the historical Jesus. Well, they really weren't searching for God's history of the historical Jesus. What they were doing, they were vainly searching with distrust in God's inspired scriptures, which still speak to us today about Jesus Christ, still get people saved. Proof is in the pudding. Open the Word of God, preach it, people get saved. They don't get saved by in search of the historical Jesus in the Scriptures. We don't even know if they're right or not, you know. And that's how some people, and I've known some people that have been that way. But he's not in this philosophical tomb that they've created for him. And he's not in the grave error. What is the grave error? Well, there's a grave error in New Age movement. They say that Jesus was just one of those many of the many spiritual gurus. He was just one of them. There's many of those. No, not Jesus. They can't call him that because he didn't. If that was the case, he's not telling the truth because he claimed exclusively and uniquely that he was the way. It says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Don't try other gurus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we look in vain if we're looking at that grave error. And then we look in vain sometimes when we're looking back at high points in the history of Christianity, or high points that are biographical high points. And there was somebody, and it's another person, I don't know who said this, but they said this: admiration for past holy lives and recollections of our own past spiritual victories are of little value unless they challenge us to faithful living today. We cannot just point to the past and say, they had a good time. Oh, did they really have a good time with Jesus? Jesus was really there, active among them. Oh, that he would be active today among us. He is active among us. Maybe it's not so spectacular like we think. Jesus was the Lord then and there in the past, but right now he is still Lord, and he's especially Lord of our present day, today, this Easter day. He's Lord of this day. And that's what we need to focus on, the risen Lord. These women, they came to render services that were unnecessary. And you know, they had good intent, but with good intent, they wasted their time and money on all these spices and lugging them down to the tomb. Just as some college kids, and you've probably met people like this, and I know them myself, they find that they've incurred all kinds of heavy debts for years of study for degrees that they've never used because they got hired at another job and that's been their career. You know that story. And these women, they had another job that they were not expecting. They were to be announcers. Announcers of the resurrection. They were the first ones to go proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, efforts can be wasted by trying to honor Christ in ways that we do not know from him, that he has not revealed to us. And sometimes we try with our own understanding to do things sometimes. And what we need to do is we need to find out where he is and what he's doing and join him in it. Find out what Jesus is doing, where he's at, where he's moving, and get involved in that. And he may lead you to see that, and he may call you. You know, this is a story that you probably heard a lot of times. I'm just going to tell it briefly, but there was a woman who dreamed that Jesus was going to visit her. So she wanted to get ready, and she cleaned her house up and put all kinds of flowers around and just made sure everything's clean, worked on a wonderful dinner for him to come. And the only person that came to her door that day was a beggar, and she gave him something and just sent him away, you know. And later on she found out that she had missed it. Jesus had come in that form of that beggar, and she missed seeing Jesus. You know, our own understanding, it needs enlightenment, and we need to listen to the living Lord, the one who has risen again. The purpose these women had was to continue the grief process. They wanted to express their grief. They want to continue this grief, this mourning. But their emotional plans were totally destroyed. Their plans for mourning, it's down. It just changed totally around. They came with heavy, mournful hearts, and they left bubbling over with joy. And that's what we need to do. We need to have, you know, the angels asked the question there. They said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And is it possible for us to let that same question, let the angelic question penetrate and transform our own emotions when we have lost a loved one? Can we do that? Why are you mourning as if this person is dead? This person is alive. This person is living. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Christ's empty tomb encourages us to say, okay, I'm going to rejoice. Praise you, Lord. And I know it's hard in our hearts. the inevitability of death and the grave. It's just around us all the time. These are somber realities on this planet. But Easter morning makes these enemies no longer the fearful prospects that we once thought about and think about sometimes. I'm just a little bit, I don't know if I'm ready to go. You know, we should really be ready to go. Anytime. You know, I always say that's maybe how Rosemary makes it. She says, you won't want to do this. I said, yeah, I might. While I'm preaching someday, giving you guys an illustration and say, you know, you always got to be ready because you never know when, and then I get that heart attack that takes me out. And they'll say, you guys will say, oh my, he gave the best sermon illustration. That I'll always remember that one. Be ready because you never know. And you know what? We don't have to look at death as an enemy. It's a passageway right through the open doorway of the empty tomb. We can go out with Jesus into that next life. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And hope beckons to a dying race from the door of Christ's empty tomb. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the life that you have given us in Christ, all based upon what happened on the cross and what happened at the tomb, the empty tomb, 3 days later. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for coming into our lives. And I pray that anyone in here has never asked you into their hearts, that they will do so today. Make this the best special Easter they've ever had. I pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless our little church here and help us to keep Easter resurrection joy in our lives until we also walk through that empty tomb and walk out through the open door with you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.